be good neighbors with our everyday people, with our church, with and around our tables and serving as hosts. Can you hear me? Crank it up. Let's get this party started. Woo, it's hot. Might just take it off. Dial it down a little bit, Marilyn. All right. Well, if you fall asleep, you have a problem. Well, like I said, you've been missing out, and we've been missing you on Wednesday nights, and we've kind of, in the next 4 weeks, I hope to start encourage you to make time for Wednesday night. Do what it takes to change your schedule. Make it fit your life again. Next 4 weeks, 7 to 8 p.m., we have a new class called Be Our Guest. And the idea is to prepare our hearts to host. In the next upcoming month, we have our Vacation Bible School. And that is, again, another time for everybody to etch out those times. June 18th through the 21st, 6 to 8 p.m. That's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. You have a month in advance to get those 4 nights for 2 hours cleared away. To come and join, I want this to be a blessing to us and what the Lord provides and the benefit of other visitors coming. That will be the cream on the crop there. But I want to encourage everyone to itch out that time to come to have a meal, to come to have some worship with family and friends and with our children, to invite your kids, invite your neighbors. But this isn't just a kid vacation Bible school. It's a vacation for all of us to come together to encourage one another. There will be an adult class, and there will be classes and activities for all the kids as well. And then for July and August, clear schedules out Wednesday nights in August, in July and August, from 6 to 8 p.m., or 6, at least starting at 6. It could go, you could be here a little time, you could be here all night. But it starts at 6 for, again, a time that we are to be one another. You can't be one another by yourself. And we can't be one another without you. And so I want to encourage you, it's in the bulletins. You're going to be hearing a lot of it from me, a lot of it from those around and our body about making that a priority for us to encourage, to draw people back in together. That's what hospitality is. Hospitality is taking what was far away and bringing near. And we have that opportunity. I want to invite you to be near on those Wednesday nights. And also, we're going to be inviting any guests that want to join us for those meals. And that time of meal, of food, of worship, and of fellowship. And so, that's my bit for that. We've been missing you on Wednesday nights, and you've been missing out. And so I encourage you to start getting that rhythm these next 4 weeks, and then preparing for VBS, and also then preparing for July and August, and hope that will be a new rhythm of your life. Also, in a couple weeks, June 4th, we have the opportunity to recognize a couple of our high school seniors. I think their names are in the bulletin, so be prepared to bless those students as well. Excited about our camp. We have 15 kids going to camp. 3rd through 12th grade going to camp. And we're glad that our church is sponsoring those kids. And a way that you can help with sponsoring is we're having a fundraising meal. Again, make time. June 7th. It's all in the bulletin, but I'm getting it in your ears and getting it in your presence here. That's to come into. We're going to have a barbecue pulled pork dinner. Going to have a dessert auction. All the kids and their families that are going to be going on that camp are going to be here to host the meal, hosting you, and come to be prepared to generously support our youth and children's and families' ministry. And so, God of opportunity for us to be together, encourage one another, and grow in faith and love. Let's have a word of prayer, then we'll get into God's Word together. Father God, You are so good, and thank You. You were the first host. You were the first neighbor that You came in and moved into our lives. God, You have come all the way. You made your presence known. God, You sent Your Son, and then You sent Your Holy Spirit to come all the way into us and into our lives. God, there is no further distance You could come. Thank You for calling us, and thank You for hosting us. And thank You for the example of Your Son, Jesus, God, that You came to serve and not to be served. And God, then You invited us that after You washed the disciples' feet, You said, go and do as I have done for you. And God, we are so blessed we have that opportunity and that calling with this group of wonderful believers, this church family, that we can be family. And God, I praise Your name for those who gathered around the Moe family and we're being family around them in their time of grief, and we can continue to surround them and surround others in times of need. And God, thank you that you call us into that. God, I pray for the upcoming opportunities we have to host one another, to host one another into your kingdom. God, we have the opportunity to host visitors into our family, this church, and to your kingdom. God, now as we open our hearts to your word this morning, as we learn from words and examples and teachings from your son, Jesus, God, may we our hearts be pointed towards you. And God, we do want to be well. God, we want to be your sons and be your daughters and live the way you would have us to live. God, we pray all this through your son, Jesus' name. Amen. Are you thirsty? Do you want to get well? Is the question this morning. Do you want to get well? In this life, we have a lot of pains, don't we? Some of you are like, yep, top of the list right here. We have ongoing pains, and those pains are real, and those pains can become a burden. We have sorrows. We have losses. We have sadness. We have things that grieve us. Loss of loved ones, situations of life, real grief. We have sickness. We have things that get us down, that some things we for a season and some that are just ongoing ailments. We have suffering. We endure hardship. And those are real things. And real things that we should care about. And we do care about. And we as a body, when we ask for prayers and we pray one for another, we pray a lot for those ailments, those sorrows, those hard times. And I want you to know that the Lord does deeply care for your life. He does deeply care for all of your life. All of it matters. He cares for your body, your sicknesses, your ailments. He cares for your soul, your heart, your mind, your spirit. He cares for it all. And He definitely wants us to have complete wellness in Him. Without a doubt, He does. He says even, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." He cares. He says, "I know you have a burden. I know you have yokes of life that are on you. And come and take my yoke. Be burdened with me, together with Him, to walk together with Him through this life." You know, this life of being a follower of God is going to be a burden. It's going to require things. It's going to be a challenge. And sometimes it will not be fun. It will not be enjoyable. It won't always feel well. We know very well that the example of the Lord, the burden He carried, was not always feeling physically well or even mentally feeling well. But He does care, and He says, invites us to come and share in that. The question is, do you want to get well? You know, what does it mean to be well? What does it mean? Does it mean free of pain, free of sadness, free of depression, free of sickness, free of sorrow? All of those other frees that we could be free of, is that what it means to be well? When I ask, do you want to be well? Do you want those things taken away? Or does it mean a freedom to live? Do you want to be well, to be free to live? And what does that look like? And what does that mean? You know, this dialogue that we're in our passage in John chapter 4 through 6 and following, it started with the question. It started with a question about a drink of water. Give me a drink of water. Well, you don't have anything to draw with. And it starts with this physical thirst. And we see as the discussion went on, Jesus wasn't asking about physical water, was He? Because when the woman says, "Yes, give me this drink," when He begins to say, if you knew who I was and the gift it was that I was giving, you would ask me and I would have given you living water, welling up to eternal life inside of you. And she says, "Well, give me this drink." Well, she's still thinking about the physical thirst she has. And we know the next question He asks her is, says, "Well, go get your husband." Wait, what does thirsty and water have to do with my personal life? What does it have to do with my spiritual life? And they get into discussion about worship and about true worshipers in spirit and in truth, where he's talking about a whole nother thirst, a whole nother wellness. But it all starts with this physical question about a drink of water to quench the physical thirst. But he says, no, I have something more. I want to give you something that you will never be thirsty, a wellspring that will well up to eternal life. See, Jesus knows in this life you will have trouble. In this life, you will have trouble. And he says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. See, he's asking a question on so many different levels, doesn't it? And we can answer it in so many different ways. Do you want to get well? Do you want the temporal wellness, or do you want the eternal wellness? I believe this is what he is asking. Do you want the temporal, or do you want the eternal? See, we like the quick fix, don't we, to our problems. We like the quick solutions that get us back going into our physical, temporal lives. You know, you like a good doctor, right? Go in there to get the quick fix. Give me the right medicine. Give me the right solution to my problem. But do you necessarily have a relationship with that doctor? Do you take him with you and continue living out all the things? You know, I want the quick fix. I'm sick. I want to be well. I hurt. I want recovery. And that's important. And the doctor wants that. But we want the temporal taken care of. We go to a physician to get physically well. Don't talk about my other parts of my life. I'm not inviting you into those. I want this temporal thing. They ask, well, tell me about your life. Well, wait a minute. I just want to get better. Well, do you want to get well? Even doctors look at beyond just the physical. But we may just want the physical. How many guys like a good vending machine that has your favorite pop or your favorite candy or your favorite chips? You know, you're hungry. You're thirsty. You go away. You give it your money, you give it your gift, and it spits out what you want, and you're on your way. You know, do you carry that vending machine with you everywhere you go? I mean, it should just be right. You should just jump inside there. Then you'll never be hungry, never be thirsty again. But we like the vending machine. We can go to it, we get it, and we go. And that's a temporal thing. Yeah, you are thirsty. Yeah, you're hungry. You've seen those Snicker bars commercials, right? Man, you need a Snickers. And things will get better. And a lot of times it does. Yeah, see? See, your wife is bumping out. See? You know, you want the momentary, the short term, no relationship, no ongoing, or do we want the eternal? Jesus is asking, do you want to get well? And he's asking a bigger question than maybe we're looking at when we first hear that. And what the woman at the well first heard. And as we go on to our passage today, what these other people coming to Jesus weren't expecting to hear, weren't expecting to receive. See, when Jesus is Lord, do we want Him as our Lord? And what does that mean? If He is Lord, we submit to Him. See, do you want the relief that He brings, or do you want Him as your Redeemer? Do you want the healing He can bring, or do you want an ongoing healer walking? Do you want the gift, or do you want the giver? Do you want wellness, physical wellness, or do you want a wellspring of eternal wellness that wells up where you will never be thirsty, never be hungry? Do you want the comfort of a warm jacket, or a new pair of shoes, or warm socks, or do you want to be clothed in Christ? Do you want the food that you're hungry for, or do you want the fellowship of believers? Do you want the fellowship of a life, of a family that will fill you? Because even the Lord says, you know, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Think about, when do people turn to God, though? When do people go to God? Usually in times of pain, sorrow, grief, guilt. And going to Him for what? I think a lot of times we treat God like a drink of water. We just want the drink. We just want to feel good
today. We want things to be fixed and better today. And God does care when you're thirsty. He does care when you're in grief. He does care when you're in pain. He does care when you're in... And He wants that wellness for you. He cares and He's compassionate. You know, we're studying in Exodus about the suffering of the Israelites under Egyptian captivity. And you kind of wonder, does God care? And He starts off, I've heard their complaining. I've heard their groaning. I know, and I am in the process of redeeming them and saving them. I will make up. I have a plan. I do care. I am there with them. And He wants redemption. He wants restoration. And He wants repentance. You know, that's His desire for all people. For all people to come to repentance. That nobody should perish. I want no one to suffer. I want no one to be out. I want no one to be in those positions. For I want all to be saved. And He does care about the physical. We can't say, well, He doesn't care about that. No, He does. But when He says, do you want to get well? That well is so much deeper. So much deeper than our physical and our mental. And it adds all a part of it. We can't detach it. But He's saying, don't just care about that. I've come to care about all of this. And we see this fleshed out in Paul in his letters to Timothy. He says, physical training is of some good. It's good to have a healthy body. It's good to exercise. It's good to treat this thing well because this is the gift we've been given. The temple of God lives inside of us. And yes, we should take care of this. We should use it for His glory. He says, but physical training has value, but godliness has value for this life and the life to come. Has so much more value. And yet He still warns us about hardship. He warns us about hardship when He talks to His disciples in Matthew chapter 10. He's gathering these guys together and they've given their life to them and they trust in Him. They have faith in Him. But listen to what He says to them in Matthew 10, 17 and following. He says, be on your guard. You will all be handed over to local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you'll be given what to say. For it would not be you speaking, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. And He goes on and says, brother will betray brother to death. And a father his child. Children will rebel against their parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by everyone because of me. But one who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. Truly I tell you, you will not finish going through the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Who's ready to go? Who's signing up for that? Ready to go? Want to follow me into that life? He said, well, He cares about my wellness. But what is He inviting us into? Hardship, trial, pain. And He cares. He's got to be talking about something more. That's enough to say, no way. I'm out. How could you care about me if you're going to lead me into that? And He says, do you want to get well? He's asking so much more. See, Jesus understands the problem between the temporal and the eternal. He cares about our physical wellness, yes. But He also has a mission that is eternal. He has a bigger mission, a deeper mission than sometimes our shallow requests. We just want the food, the money, the happiness. And He cares about that, but there's so much deeper, so much more. You ever find that sometimes our prayers are pretty shallow? When the Lord says how to pray, and the disciples ask Him, listen to the depth of this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the power and the glory and the kingdom forever and ever. Amen. It's more than just a drink of water. More than just thirsting the
of quenching the thirst that's on your lips or in your stomach.
Let's go to our passage this morning in John chapter 4, starting in verse 43. We're reading John 4, 43 through 48. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet had no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in the Jerusalem at the Passover feast, for they also had been there. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When the man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to beg him, and went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. And Jesus says, "Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders, you will never believe." What is he saying there? What is he concerned about? Is he disregarding the pain and the suffering of the official's son who's about ready to die? No. But is he asking there? Unless you people see miraculous signs and wonders. See, he cares, but he cares about the eternal. He cares about believing in him for eternal life. He cares about obedience to his way of life. See, the false prophets of that time and false prophets of this day still say stuff like this. You know Jesus, right? Have this knowledge. Jesus is the Son of God. That is our confession, right? Come to that knowledge. Come to that faith. Jesus is the Son of God. Good. Know that what he did. Know the stories about what he did. Know the gospel story that he died for our sins. He was buried and rose again. Know that. Confess that. That is the foundation of our faith, right? He is the Son of God. He is Savior of the world. He's victory over sin and death. But what about when we get to the next parts of Jesus? What about Jesus is Lord? Do you believe that Jesus is Lord? Then submit to him. Unless you see signs and miracles, you will never believe. What is he saying? Just to have that head knowledge? False prophets say, have that head knowledge and you're okay. Not everyone who says to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of God. Whoa! What do you mean? I've confessed. I know in my heart. I know in my mind. But how are we living? The obedience, you can't have belief without obedience. If you're not obeying, you're not really believing. You're not really believing that he determines life or death. He determines judgment or salvation. Because if we really believe that, how would we be following? How would we be obeying? How would we be believing and walking in that way? See, when Jesus is Lord, what is the fruit of your life that's coming out? What is happening as a result of your following of him? Is it good fruit or is it bad fruit? What is in this? What's behind you as you're following? Is it a trail of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, or self-control? Or is it a trail of carnage and hatred and just disgust? When people look at you and see what fruit is coming out, that guy smells bad. Or, woo, that's a pleasing aroma. Where are they pouring? What's the source of that? And walking in step with that. And the other part, Jesus is the Christ. You know, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's not Jesus Christ. It's Jesus the Christ. And what is Christ? Christ is the King. And if we confess and believe that Jesus is the King, then how are we serving that King? So we believe and we confess, but do we really believe? How are we submitting to him as Lord, and how then are we serving him as King over this kingdom, in my life, in this church, in my home, in this community? Because that's what the false prophets leave out. That's what the false prophets of this day even leave out. You can have the gift,
but forget the giver. You can have the healing, but forget the healer.
Jesus is more than a drink of water. God is more than a drink of water. He says, I want to give you a wellspring of life. Is your life flourishing? Are those around you being fed? Are those around you's life being flourished and built up? Are they drinking from that overflow of your love that's within you? That is what Jesus is saying. Unless you see miracles and signs and wonders, you will never believe. He goes on, John 4:49. The royal official said, Sir, come down before my child dies. He heard that, but I mean, the burden of his son, I can't even imagine the burden of a son on deathbed. Sir, come down before my child dies. Jesus is compassionate. He knows. He cares about this man. He cares about the son. He wants to do this, and he says, You may go. Your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news. The boy was living. And when he inquired as to the time his son got better, they said to him, The fever left him yesterday about the seventh hour. And then the father realized that was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, Your son will live. And so he and all his household, they believed. They believed. See, Jesus heals the temporal, but he's asking, unless you believe, he's wanting the eternal. The physical wellness came, and he presents this invitation. When he says, unless you have signs or miracles, you will never believe, he's kind of passively aggressively extending an invitation. Saying, you're not going to believe me unless I give you this answer. And it's almost like bidding you to say, well, I'll show you. I'll show you, I will believe. And this is what happens here. This time, the official, they get the physical wellness, but then he understands the question to believe. The wellspring of life of Jesus. He understands the invitation for wellness. He knew that Jesus was healing. He knew the acts that he was doing. He knew that he was a good doctor. He knew he was a good gift giver. And Jesus is saying, I want you to have me. And they get that wellness, and then here's this invitation into a life of worship, something else after this. Unless you have these things, you will never believe. And praise God, this official, he and his household believed. And what does that mean? I can't imagine it being any more than him repenting, changing the way he was living, changing, identifying now who is Lord. I mean, whoever raises your son from the brink of death, who is this person? You imagine the journey and the seeking and the searching. Now he's going after this. Whatever doctors or whatever lords or whatever was in that man's life before, he'd have to count it all at loss and say, I believe, and begin walking this way with this Lord. And he had probably to come to know that he is the Son of God, to know that what he was going to do, going to save the world. At this point, Jesus hadn't died and rose again. But knew to hear that story and to walk in steps with that. And then to say, he's the Messiah. Oh, the King, to serve you. I can serve you as part of my belief. And I can submit to you.
Go on to chapter 5. John chapter 5, 1 through 6. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the lame, the blind, the paralyzed. One who was there who had been invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in that condition for a long time, he asked him, Do you want to get well? I mean, what kind of question is that? To a guy who, I mean, what would the answer be? I mean, if you're in the crowd, you know this guy 38 years, and how did Jesus learn that? He had to have, heard about this man, and maybe he cared about him. He saw him laying there. He saw him hurting there, and he learns a story, and then he asks a question so ridiculous. Do you want to get well? I mean,
Of course he wants to get well. Why do you think he's going there every day? And we hear the excuses, well, no one's been able to help me get into the water. But and all these excuses. But do you want to get well? And what is the well he is talking about? Does he want me to be physically well? Yes. But is there something more? Is there something more? He's asking, do you want to get well? And what does it even mean, Jesus? What are you talking about? You know, why would someone not want to get well? Why would someone not want that? Sometimes I like to be sick. People take care of me. I don't have to get up. I don't have to take responsibility. I don't even have to, like, acknowledge that I'm sick. Well, what it has to take to get well? I'm sick. It's who I am. It's where I'm at. I like it. It's kind of comfortable. You know, some of these other things kind of got to go away. You know, but it's who I am. See, if I want to get well, I'm going to have to get vulnerable. I'm going to have to identify it. I'm going to have to recognize it. I'm going to have to take some responsibility. I might have to do some things that are even more uncomfortable. What, I have to get up? No, I don't want to get up. Well, I have to eat that? I don't want to eat that. I have to do that exercise? No, I don't want to do that. I got to change this? No. Why? Because I'm sick. Because there's something other. There's possibility. See, when I'm sick, I have an excuse. Well, I'm sick. I'm not well. I can't do it. You know, if I get well, then I'm going to have to live. Then I'm going to have to be accountable. I'm going to have to be responsible. I'm going to have to... Something's going to be required of me. You know, this is my security. You know, this is comfortable. You know, but if I let go of that control, then I have to be open to the impossible or the limitlessness. You know, here I'm limited. I got it all figured out. Even though, and you go, well, wait a minute, you're sick. Or you can't walk. Or you're sad, or you got whatever it is that's weighing you down over here. Do you want to get well? That seems to me like, yeah, I want to get well. But maybe not. I like this state I'm in. You know, I don't have to put my trust in something else. Because there's fear in trusting. You know, I like to be held up. I like to be captive. I don't want to be free. That's scary. I have to go out. I have to serve. I have to give. Things are required. Do you want to get well? Do you want the hope for something more? Do you want the desire for the possibility? Do you want to get well? Do you want to walk? Do you want to walk? And what kind of wellness and walking is he talking about? Just to get up and go down the street? Yes and more. Jesus is more than just a drink of water. He says, going on in John 5, 7 and following. He asked him, first before that, do you want to get well? Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes on ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. End of story. The day this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. And so they asked him, who is this fellow that told you to pick up your mat and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. But later, Jesus found him. You love that about Jesus, love that about our God. He will keep seeking and find you. And what will you accept? And what will you be invited for into? And what will you want from him? Later, Jesus found him at the temple gate. What kind of wellness? Here's a clue. He says, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something else worse may happen to you.
He's invited them into this temporal healing. He says, pick up your mat and walk. He invites them, and the man does that. He is healed, and he obeys that. He gets up. I mean, you ever, like, had to be told that you're well? You're fine. You go to the doctor. Nothing's wrong with you. Well, I don't feel... Well, just get up and walk. And so he obeys. He gets up and he walks, and he's physically fine. But he's invited into a life of discipleship with him. He's invited into a walk. Stop sinning. Stop going the way you've been going. You've been healed, and now I want you to be well. Do you want to be well? Then stop going your way. Go this way. Because you've been healed again. Isn't that how the way it is? Have you been sick before and got well? Many times. You will be sick, and you again. You will hurt again. And so, see that you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse. What is something worse? I mean, for some of the major pains and sorrows, and I don't want to be sensitive to this, because there's sometimes a lifetime of pain and suffering that we go through. And what could be worse than this? There is something worse than that. That's when we say we believe. Because if we believe there is something worse than this physical life, that has to change how we live. It has to. Or yet, I wonder, do we believe then? And he's saying then, stop sinning. Walk daily. And what if Jesus doesn't relieve the temporal pain? That makes it challenging, doesn't it? We ask, Lord, forgive. My Lord, he does forgive. Lord, heal. Lord, relieve. Lord, help. We have no promise that we've already talked about that. He promised that as the world hated you, they also hated him. Think about how he was treated, how he suffered, how he went through all the... I mean, he went to death for his obedience. He went to death for his submission to God. He went to death for his service to God. He went to death for his belief in God. He went to death for the purpose of God in his life. Paul himself, he boasts of his sufferings. If we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. What if he doesn't answer? What if we don't get the temporal healing? How did life go for Paul? 2 Corinthians 11, starting in verse 23. Paul, I don't know if he's being cynical or he's being humorous or just being straightforward. I don't know however it comes out. I don't know how Paul was reading it, but he says, are they all servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received the lashings minus one. 40 lashings minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from the rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from the false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast in the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. Paul had some pains, some sufferings, probably had some ongoing aloftness going on. A lot of grief, a lot of sorrow, and to not to diminish that, but his hope was in something more. He had this temporal suffering and pain that was ongoing, but yet his eternal mission was secure. His calling in the Lord was secure, and that's what he cared most about. That's why he endured all that, so we could have the Word to all these different places that the Word that he sent them to, and the letters that we all have that he wrote them to. And we continue to follow in those footsteps as he is following the Lord. He says, follow my example as I'm following Christ. And if Paul stops following Christ, you keep following him.
You keep going that way. When I'm on a bad day and I'm suffering and this is on a good day. You think he always boasts in his sufferings? No way. No way. Here we got him on a good day. He said, okay, I know the big story here. Let me back up. There's eternal things going on here. And he writes about it. But I'm going to boast. I'm going to boast in my weakness.
And see, Paul, he had an ongoing thing. We don't know about some of these other ailments, some of these other injuries from all that beating and all those dangers he faced. But we know that he had an ongoing suffering. In 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, last passage. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. He says, to keep me from becoming conceited, because that means he could be pretty braggy about that. You ever brag about all the bad things that happened to you?
Yeah, I had all this stuff happen to me, and I'm still standing. Look at me. I'm cool. Look at all my scars. Yeah, look at all my bad days. Man, I did all...
But Paul was not there. He said, to keep me from becoming conceited, because of these surpassing greatness, because of these surpassingly great revelations, there was given to me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly and about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He had a thorn that was always with him. And think, what did he do with that pain and that sorrow? It drew him closer to the Lord. And his mind was taken off the temporal, this constant pain, this constant physical, spiritual, mental pain that was going. If he was being tormented from Satan, Satan has access to all parts of our being, doesn't he? And he can torment us. As I'm being tormented, I will draw near to God and I will praise Him. He is focused on the eternal mission of God. There will be a time when this will be overcome. The Lord overcome sin and death on the cross, and He will overcome sin and death in my life, and I will keep pressing on towards that till the Lord takes me to be with Him. And I will walk in that as my Lord submitted to Him, even in pain. Submitted to Him in service as my King who is victorious. I ask you this morning, do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? What kind of wellness do you want? I'm calling you to desire the Lord, to walk with Him, to walk with Him and behind Him as Lord, as King. Do you want the temporal? Yes, if you have those temporal needs, let's pray for those, because we care. God cares. But He wants you to believe. He wants to go from the shallow into the very deep. And oh, the deep end with God is so good. So much better in the deep end with Him. So much more free, so much more fun, so much more exciting, sometimes terrifying, sometimes dangerous. But He's got me by the hand. He's my life preserver, keeping me afloat, giving me a point, is pointing me towards dry land or hope or new life. Are you thirsty? Do you want a drink of water? Do you want just a cup of water? I can get you a cup of water and help you with that. But I want to offer to you the wellspring of life, and whatever that means to you. I want to invite you to be well, to deeper prayers of faith and of spirit and of trust and of lordship and of obedience. If you are outside of the Lord, outside of Christ this morning, then I want to invite you in to confess Jesus as Lord, to believe in Him as the Son of God who conquered death on the cross, and to
to take Him on as your Lord and Savior, if you haven't been baptized, to be immersed in those waters of baptism, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, to submit your life to Him, and to walk in service to Him as your King. If there are some things that are hanging you up, you're on the water's edge and no one has helped you in, what's keeping you back? We can pray about that. Do you want to get well? Jesus can make you well today. We can help each other, one another, continue.